This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you into our next hour. Sitting in for John Chuckery on this Thursday night, on this eve before the eve of the holiday. And hope it all is well with you and your family, that you've been safe and well. And if you are having the shelter in place, seemed like we were about to emerge from all of that, but seems like now some things threaten to, the virus threatens to send us back inside a little bit more than we'd like to be, obviously, at this time of year, but we do what we must, right? And so that's part of living in this time with COVID-19. Of course, sports is gearing up to get going here in the coming weeks and days. And, of course, we can tell you all about it here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Don't forget all of your smartphones and smart devices, smart speakers. Take us with you if you are venturing out and traveling on this holiday. Some people are. Be safe on the roadways if you're traveling. And, take us along with you. You're going to go out and spend some time with family, you know, and friends. It's still a time that we normally do traditional things on this holiday weekend. There will still be some fireworks displays, probably not to the degree that we're accustomed to seeing. As I mentioned earlier in our program here in Atlanta, we're used to two big events that always take place, the Peachtree Road Race and a Braves baseball game. And this year, sadly, we will have neither. But Braves baseball is on the way. The team is at Truist. They're working out. They'll be back there tomorrow morning, by the way, working out. And, you know, the media get a chance to hear from some of the players tomorrow after tomorrow's workout, as well as they get set for this 60-game season. Seemed like they weren't going to come together on it, but they finally did. And so we will have baseball this season. Will you watch? Or did all the haggling back and forth really turn you off to the point that you're now just kind of ticked at those guys because it was all about money? There's some people who feel that way, and you have a right to feel the way that you feel. They're doing what they have to do because it is a business for them. And, now they're going to get back on the field, and some are opting out to not participate for various reasons. But most of them are gearing up to go out and play baseball that is coming up. The NBA, by the way, headed for a bubble. Matter of fact, it sounds like they're going to be two bubbles. It's going to be the bubbles for the teams that qualify for a postseason, and then there's going to be a second bubble possibly for the teams that don't qualify for the postseason. And everything gets set going. If you were listening earlier here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, you heard Carl Dukes and Harry Douglas spend some time with Kenny the Jet Smith, and Kenny was talking about how things are being changed and getting set over at TNT. For them to start doing the NBA coverage, along with Ernie Johnson and Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley, which I always say that's a show I'd watch even if there was no basketball game. I just watch that show. Not because I know everybody on that, I know all four of them, but it's just entertaining. And it's a lot of fun and interesting, and sometimes you're not sure what you're going to hear, especially when it comes out of Barkley. But they're gearing up to go back to work as well. And so he talked about the things that you're going to see. The spacing and the distancing is going to be different, even within the studio, than normally. He'll still have his big board that he goes back and runs back on and works plays. He's still going to be doing those things. And he just talked about how it is if he were a player. I think one of the last things I remember him saying in his interview was that he was going to go and asked to go when he was younger before he got married. It would be no trip to go and play a place like this. But once he got married and children, that became a little bit different matter, possibly. And maybe that's where some players are who are sitting on the fence about doing this, or have decided that they're not going to go and play. But we talked about the bubble that's going to be down there and the rules that are going to be in place. And are the players going to adhere to that? That's an awful long time for adults to have to conduct themselves in that manner, to not venture out. I'm not saying Orlando's got a ton of stuff to do. I mean, they're not going to go to the amusement park or anything, I wouldn't think, anyway, or any of the other entertainment that's down there. But everything is, from what I'm reading and hearing, is going to be brought in for them, all the conference, all the catering. Everything is due to be there. Meanwhile, still Damian Lillard, the Portland Trailblazers, is a big concern, and he shared these thoughts.
My confidence ain't great because you telling me you're going to have, you know, 22 teams full of players follow all the rules? Like, when we have 100% freedom, everybody don't follow all the rules. So, I mean, I don't have much confidence, but hopefully, you know, it'll be handled to a point where, like, we're not putting everybody at risk or in a dangerous position. You know what I'm saying?
Damian Lillard and not a lot of confidence in his fellow NBA players that they will adhere to all the rules that will be in place, and for some reason he doesn't think so. So that's amazing to hear him play and hear him say that, considering all that's at stake and all the things that the league has done to try to get people positioned to go and take part in this and still, you know, move the season forward. Have a resumption of play and try to determine a champion for this season. He feels like it's asking a little bit much for the fellow NBA players to go there and keep their focus and, you know, adhere to all the rules of the bubble. We'll see. It's interesting on his take. Meanwhile, what about being safe? And I think that's something a lot of players are concerned about as well. Giannis Antetokounmpo, Milwaukee Bucks, a lot of people watching him, and he had these thoughts about the safety.
The most important thing that I asked is it going to be safe? And I know the NBA and the NBA work together to make this place as safe as possible, and I trust them. At the end of the day, you know, we got to do our job, and I know that the NBA is going to do their job, and the NBA is going to do their job to keep us as safe as possible and make this transition as easy as possible for us.
So that's a vote of confidence. Giannis Antetokounmpo, a.k.a. Greek Freak, says, hey, it feels like the people have done their job. They're going to make it safe for the players to go there and participate and play to the best of their ability under some different circumstances. Of course, they'd rather be playing at home. Of course, they'd rather be playing in their home arenas. I'm sure they would. Under normal circumstances, that would be the case. But these circumstances that are anything but normal, and these players are expected to still go out and give their best. And now's the time they're back. They're training. They're working out, just getting back together formally. I mean, some probably have gotten together for a time and played. I'm echoing something else that Kenny Smith said. I've been amazed during this time, and Greg Clarkson and I have talked about this, you know, on weekend mornings, of how many NBA players don't have a basket at their homes. Don't have a backboard, and not on the driveway, not out in the backyard. Just don't have one, period. And you know, I guess you don't play unless you actually go to the facility. I would figure a guy who's making his living doing this would have somewhere. Just, I mean, I know it's not the same as where you would be playing in the gym with your teammates and the type of environment that would be and the kind of, you know, equipment that would be there for you for your formal workout, since you are playing the game at this very high level. But I'm talking about just a basic sense. You just felt like going out one morning, just putting up some shots just to work it out and just to kill some time, but also feel like you're doing something that's good for your game. And you're right there in your home. I mean, not everybody can do like a Kobe Bryant and have a gymnasium at your house. I'm not saying everybody should do that, but I just think it's just a regular on the driveway, or, you know, pour a little slab out in your backyard and put the basket up there. You would think most guys would have it. But I was amazed at the number of the players who were participating in some of the made-for-TV competitions that took place and, didn't have their own. Just didn't have their own. I was kind of amazed by that. Maybe I shouldn't be. but kind of amazed by that. One thing they will have everything they need at their disposal as they go and play these games. And now they're going to work out, they're going to train, they're going to scrimmage some, have some preseason. And by the end of this month, we will have the National Basketball Association up and running and looking for some big games. Of course, one of the first games is going to be the Clippers and the Lakers. I think a lot of people want to see those teams back on the floor, obviously not where they would normally be on the West Coast. And playing without fans, that's going to be strange too. But, yeah, people want waiting to see that. People want waiting to see Boston and Milwaukee. I'm waiting to see that one as well. I think that's going to be fun. Zion Williamson and what he's able to do with the Pelicans, what will they be able to do? A young team, a young star for the future. What is he going to do, with his team? He had to wait so long to be healthy and ready to play. And now he's healthy, ready to go out there. Let's finally see what he can do. It's going to be some things to watch and see that's going to make it fun and then make it entertaining as well. And, hopefully we get a chance to get a champion crown, because that's the thing we wanted. That's the thing that leaves us for this season. So many things happened during this NBA season, and, of course, the tragic loss of Kobe Bryant, and a lot of people feeling like that's put an extra pressure on the Lakers players currently to go out and win to honor him. And I think that's what a lot of people, I don't say they expect to see or want to see, but I think a lot of people expect to see them go out and play extra hard when they do, because they know that a lot of fans are watching to see if they will be able to do that, to not only achieve the championship for themselves, but to honor his memory this season. So I think that's something that we're looking forward to watching for. When the teams are able to go back to work and get back out on the floor and play. Now, what about our Atlanta Hawks, who it seemed like they're going to have something to keep them busy as well? And we wondered what this team would do during this time. We felt like losing the last month and a half of the season was tough for this team, because there's something things that I wanted to see. I wanted to see everybody healthy and everybody together on the court. And that's what I wanted to see for the last few games. No, they weren't going to make it into the postseason, but that's something I did want to see. I wanted to see how Clint Capela fit in with the rest of the team. That's those some things that I was hoping to see. So, and some maturity from some of the rookies from last year to see how they grew. And the thing, obviously, we know what Trae Young brings to the table and what he does. And I think that's the thing. You wanted to see everybody there together and healthy. We didn't get to see that. And so if there is this second bubble that we're hearing about in Chicago, we look forward to seeing how this team rolls out, what they look like, and how they play as we look ahead here in Atlanta to what the future holds with this team. What could be acquired, or whom could be acquired within the draft? What free agent is going to be attracted to what the nucleus that is in place here to want to come and be a part of it? Those are things that we watch for and we're interested in and want to see as this Atlanta Hawks basketball team and this new configuration of the Hawks continues to grow and gel. And so that's what we're looking for from this team. And the guy's going to talk about it coming up next. You want to stay with us, because Chris Kirshner is going to join us next from Athletic and covers the Atlanta Hawks. We're going to get some thoughts about the team, its future, what to watch for. Also, a very historic week for the Atlanta Hawks, and something that they did along with State Farm Arena that is big. Some management changes with Trae Young. There's a lot to talk about this Atlanta Hawks basketball team. And Chris is going to talk about that and more when he joins us. That's continues. You want to stay with us on this Thursday night. Chris Kirshner is going to join us next, talking some Hawks basketball, talking some NBA in the bubble. That is all coming up next. You stay with us right here on this Thursday night. Sam Crenshaw sitting in for John Chuckery on 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com. Available through the Radio.com app. All your smartphones and smart devices. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw in for John Chuckery on this Thursday night. So glad you're with us, hanging out with us tonight. And we're going to talk some NBA now. Of course, we talked some earlier. But let's get into things as far as our Atlanta Hawks and how things are looking for them as well. And as other teams get set to head for the bubble, and joining us now on the waitfor.com hotline, keeps an eye on things for the Athletic Atlanta and Athletic NBA, is Chris Kirshner. Chris, welcome to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Great to talk with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Always great to have you. How are you hanging through this time of COVID-19? This has been okay for you. How have you guys been making it by?
Yeah, I think it's going fine. I haven't personally had anyone associated with me have a positive test, which is good. So I think I'm hanging in there. Hanging out at home is nothing new for me because, you know, I have my office is essentially my home, so it's really nothing new for me.
Great to have that all set up that way. But now the games are trying to get started. NBA, how are you going to – well, what's your take on everything as far as this bubble? You got some players that are sitting on the fence as far as it goes. Some have decided they're not going at all. But it looks like we are going to get the majority of players to go. Is that what you're feeling?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, especially with the teams that have a legitimate chance of winning a championship. And this season, even before things paused with the pandemic back in March, there was probably around like 8 or 9 teams where you could, you know, realistically make an argument that they had a chance to win. So I think we're going to see a lot of those teams that, you know, believe that they have a chance of winning actually go through with the bubble and, you know, have everybody show up. For the teams that, you know, don't have much of a chance to play, I mean, to win it all, like a team like Washington or Brooklyn this year, you know, we're probably going to see more of those players decide that, you know, that's not something that they want to subject themselves to for a few weeks. Because even if these teams that don't have a chance of winning, they're still going to be there for over a month. That's over a month of, you know, no family time, no ability to, you know, go to a restaurant if that's what you want to do outside of the bubble. It's going to be difficult. And, you know, you have to also keep in mind that, you know, these guys have a set routine of, like, how they like things to do. Professional athletes are creatures of habit, and you're breaking their habits over however long it's going to take for these teams before they end up either getting eliminated in the playoffs or if they don't even make the playoffs. So it's going to be interesting to see how these players, coaches, personnel, everybody reacts to something that is so strange at the end of the day.
So do you subscribe to what Damian Lillard says, that maybe there's some guys that are not going to be able to adhere to the rules of the bubble? Because he feels like it's going to be hard to get guys to go along with that the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think so. Because, again, like, these guys are going to be just cooped up in their rooms. A lot of these guys are in their, you know, early 20s, you know, single. It's going to be difficult for a lot of these guys to, you know, stay in their rooms and not have anything to do, other than probably play video games or hang out with their teammates. I still don't know, like, how that's going to, you know, go down, because I don't think they're just going to be allowed to roam, like, the hallways and the lobby areas. I know they're going to have, like, game rooms and stuff like that, but that gets old after a while, so I'm curious to see, like, how these guys are going to adjust. Because, you know, if we're talking about the teams that make it to the finals, so we're obviously in July now, and the you know, teams are already starting to travel, especially, you know, Toronto. But those teams, say Toronto makes it to the NBA finals, Toronto's going to be there for over 3 months. That's 3 months of not really being able to do much, and I get it. Like, we're not really supposed to do much, especially in the middle of a pandemic. But that's still a long time to, you know, be away from family, be away from your home, be away from your friends. It's going to be really difficult, and I do think that for some people, it's going to be really hard to follow the rules.
Yeah, I mean, even though you want, okay, you're going to go out. What's open? Because yeah, that's the thing you'd think now, under normal circumstances, okay. But under these circumstances, there's probably not much going to be open anyway.
No. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a good point. But even still, like, if there's nothing to do, and there's nothing to, like, there's no place to go in Orlando, it's still difficult, though, because, you know, if we're just talking about, like, you and I, we're allowed to, you know, go on walks around our neighborhood or, you know, go to a park or whatever. Like, these guys aren't able to do that there. Like, they're kind of confined to this campus that the NBA is setting up for them. So it's even more strict than the rules that you and I should have at the end of the day. So that also is a challenge, because you're just subjecting these players for, you know, possibly 3 months of basketball where they're just staying in one little bubble area, and that's hard. I mean, I think it would be hard for anybody, but, you know, they're still getting paid millions of dollars. I understand that, but it's still, like, I don't know how pleasant that experience is going to be, and I'm curious to hear how the players actually like or even dislike the experience.
Yeah, spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with Chris Kirshner. He is social. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Kirshner. Let's focus some on our team here in town, the Atlanta Hawks, and it seems like they are going to have something to do after all. There's a possibility. Where are we on this second bubble in Chicago? What are you hearing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the news broke around a few hours ago that the NBA is leaning toward having the eight teams that aren't going to Orlando to a second bubble site in Chicago, where they'd be allowed to have, like, mandatory mini camps, possible scrimmage games. The only thing that is likely going to hold up the ratification of this actually going through is that it still has to be negotiated with the Players Association. And I'm curious to see or hear what the incentive is for these teams to actually do this, because, say, so for the Hawks, for example, they have 5 free agents and Vince Carter, who's retired. So that's 6 players out of the 15-man roster that teams obviously have. So what are the incentives for players who are going to be free agents to go to Chicago to play, you know, "quote unquote" meaningless basketball, because they're going to be they're risking their health, they're risking their next contract, they're again sacrificing family time or whatever it is that they would have if they weren't going to Chicago to a second bubble site. So there's still some things that need to be worked out before this actually gets passed. But it does seem that we are making progress toward, those 8 teams having some sort of understanding of what they're actually going to be doing this offseason, because I know from the Hawks' standpoint, they want to play basketball in some fashion in these next couple of months, because they're a very, very young team. So any sort of basketball that they can play this offseason is a win in their eyes, because they're so young and they still need to figure out, like, who is going to be fitting with this roster long term, and any sort of additional time to evaluate the young players and seeing how guys fit, I think, is really important for Travis Schlenk to figure out.
Also this week, in the last few days we hear about some new things with Trae Young management. Why isn't it? Gave some people some reason to cause to concern, but is there really reason to be concerned about those changes with him?
No, I don't think so. Trae changed agencies from Octagon to Clutch Sports, and especially for diehard NBA fans who keep up with that stuff, Clutch Sports is heavily associated with the Lakers, and that's because LeBron, his agent is Rich Paul. Rich Paul is the CEO of Clutch Sports. 33% of the Lakers roster has Clutch Sports as their agency that is representing them. And when we talk about Trae Young, he's obviously a star. He's one of the young stars in the NBA. He plays for a losing team in Atlanta right now. And anytime that happens where you have a star player on a losing team, you know, the possibility of it just not working out is there. And if Trae is frustrated, you know, when his contract is up with Atlanta in 2 years, maybe he decides that, you know, he wants to change, and people are probably going to point toward what happened this past weekend with him signing with Clutch Sports as the reason for that happening. But as of now, I really don't think there's much to be concerned about, just because, you know, his former agent was at Octagon and Omar Wilkes, and now Omar Wilkes is the head of basketball for Clutch. So I do think that was probably the main reason why, you know, he ended up signing with Clutch at the end of the day.
Great. And we breathe a sigh of relief. We know what they got to hang around here. Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline, we're talking some with Chris Kirshner, keeps an eye on the NBA and especially on our Atlanta Hawks. Something monumental the Hawks did this week. The Hawks and State Farm Arena are going to be a polling place for the NBA franchises might follow that lead. But thoughts about the process of deciding to do this?
I mean, I think it's awesome. I don't think there's any reason why other teams across the NBA, MLB, NFL, whatever, to have their arenas open up, because we're obviously not using them right now in the middle of a pandemic. And, you know, teams are likely going to go to a bubble site to play their games, or whatever it is. And if you have this amount of space to use in the middle of your city, you know, most of these arenas are located in the heart of the city that they're situated in. So anytime you can have that sort of space available for such an important thing to, you know, get done, I don't think that there's any sort of negative thing you could point to about that. And I think the Hawks have been at the forefront of trying to create you know, social change in not only this city but across America. You see Lloyd Pierce taking a leadership role with the NBA coach, the other 29 NBA coaches, with being a part of the subcommittee for coaches against racial injustice. You see leaders like CEO Steve Koonin, you know, trying to get more community involvement, whether it's with making State Farm Arena a polling place and other sort of events around the city. So I think it's awesome that you know, the Hawks are doing this, and they should be commended for it, because you know, I'm sure a lot of conversations went down to make this happen with not only the city, but also to get the message out to the community. So I do think that they should be applauded for doing this.
Yeah, stepping up in a leadership role here in Atlanta. Kind of fitting that would happen here. So kudos once again to Steve Koonin and everyone there at the Atlanta Hawks making this happen. Chris, we thank you for spending some time with us tonight as we continue to watch the teams that they head for the bubble. Going to be interesting, but we can't wait to see some basketball come back.
Yep, I can't wait. I really can't wait. It's been a long time.
Yep. Yeah. Thanks so much, and enjoy your holiday. Stay safe, stay well.
Thanks a lot. You too.
All right, that is Steve Kirshner from The Athletic Atlanta and Athletic NBA, talking about the Hawks and, you know, talking about the NBA and some things we watch for as this bubble. Maybe it might be too much temptation for players to stay in it. We don't know. We'll talk a little bit more about this when we come back. That and a little news. Take a look at some HBCU talk. Jahi specializes in that. We're going to kick that around some, too. You stay with us as we continue on this Thursday evening. Sam Crenshaw sitting in with John Chuckery here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you. Not 9 floors up in the Kia Studios, but in the virtual Kia Studios on this Thursday night as we head for our holiday weekend, our Independence Day weekend here in the United States. Thanks so much for spending some time with us tonight and for taking us with you wherever you go. Remember, Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com available through the radio.com app for all your smartphones and all your smart speakers and devices. That song you just heard, Lift Every Voice and Sing, is something if you attend an HBCU football game, you hear every Saturday because it's played right after, before or after the national anthem, Star Spangled Banner. So it's played at the start of every game. Word comes now that the National Football League will adopt that and be played the first week before every game, week in game one that it will be played. And so that's something else that the National Football League is doing, showing support for this movement that's happening in the country to address inequality. And they're going to do that as a tribute. That's coming up this coming season, something else to watch for during week one of National Football League play. But Jahi, as I said, if you attend an HBCU sporting event or especially football game, you're used to hearing that because you hear that before the national anthem, before the Star Spangled Banner is played. I'm sure they do that in your great alma mater at Howard University.
Man, right? They played that song before everything. It wasn't just before the Howard game. It was before all that we did. We would play that, and we would play our school song. What is it? Rare Across the Eastern Sky, Sitting on a Hilltop High, something like that. I forgot the words already, but
something,
you know,
like that. So you did go to the school, right?
Yeah, HU all day. Yeah, I went to Howard. I went there, but you know that you forget. I would have to hear the song. Yeah. I know the words when they come on.
There were some Howard alums in this area. You're probably very disappointed that you.
Nah,
you
know, they heard
a couple of them. I you know what? Ambassador Andrew Young is a proud Howard University. He would be very disappointed you didn't know his school song.
I know the school song. If we all singing it together, we can all get it together. We actually had to do that for a test. We had to for our intro class or whatever, we had to know the school song as like a test. That was a grade to
know
the first verse.
You ought to know the school song. If you go to a school, you ought to know the school song.
Yeah, I know it.
I think you should.
I know it. I know it. I just wasn't prepared. I'm not prepared. I have to reach in my mental Rolodex. But it's been a decade since I had to sing that song. So, I mean, it's been a while.
You've been back to a game or two, though, haven't you?
Yeah, but we didn't sing the school song. But Lift Every Voice, I know that. I know that like the back of my hand. I know that. I'm doing that since kindergarten.
Yeah. So me as well. How you think that's gonna? I think that's gonna feel at an NFL game, and I think maybe, you know what? Maybe it's gonna depend on who plays it, and me personally, because I've heard him play the national anthem, and he just played it at for the NASCAR race last week. Is Mike Phillips, saxophonist who has played the national anthem at so many different events. I've heard him play it at everything from NBA games to NFL games to the start of the Tour Championship golf. And, you know, in the last week, he just played the beginning of for the NASCAR race, which was Pocono last week. So it was, you know, he would do a tremendous job with that, I think. We heard him play the national anthem, to hear him play Lift Every Voice and Sing, I think would be pretty cool. He'd probably give us a pretty good rendition.
It's interesting. I'm looking forward to see the reaction of people more than anything.
Yeah, I think that's going to be.
I want to see people's reaction.
Yeah, see how people react to it.
Yeah.
We're talking about HBCU athletics, and these are changing times for HBCU athletics. We're hearing about a lot of the landscape changing just a bit. We talked about it some on Sunday morning, and one of the big changes is with Florida A&M. Their move became official this week. Their move to the SWAC, that's big because it takes a big member away from the MEAC, and that's kind of the balance of the teams that play in the FCS at the FCS level. We saw this week that Delaware State has said that they are going to stay in the MEAC, but you've read they're launching a big plan to try to revitalize that conference, right?
Yeah, they are. They're getting together with a consulting group out of Virginia that that includes former Notre Dame coach, what's his name? Willingham, excuse me. Tyrone Willingham. Among other people, former North Carolina president, he's included into that. So there's going to be a number. There are going to be a number of people that are going to help revitalize that conference, along with the president of Howard and the president of the MEAC. They both. The president of Howard's the chairman of that conference. So they're all going to get together and try to reorganize and refocus that conference. It originally started with 7 members, so now it's to 8. After losing 3 big members, losing North Carolina A&T, FAMU, and Bethune-Cookman, that they are going to lose. So it's going to be pretty interesting.
So I noticed you did mention the other HU. They lost them
a while ago. I wasn't including them right now because they've been gone. Okay. Well, I won't say been gone. They're already gone. So I didn't want to include them. I'm more so including the ones that we're just losing. But we don't really talk about them too much anyway.
that would be Hampton University.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to talk about the other HU.
They cool. I like them. Like, I got friends that went there. They're cool. I like them.
Yep.
I don't hate them. It's just a rival. We don't speak highly of them in public. And just in private, we just give them their kudos. Not in public.
You know what? I was surprised how they found a way to still play that football game last year. They went all the way to Chicago to play it. But they still managed to play, that football game. People had to go a little bit further ways to see it. But a place like Chicago got a lot of alums from both of those schools. So I'm sure that it was very well attended and very well supported. That's happening. So that's, Bethune-Cookman going with Florida A&M, you kind of saw that happening. But you still wonder who else would join in with the MEAC. Would it be somebody else from the CIAA? And, just during these times when there's a lot of movement afoot, we want to see how many programs are going to be able to play football this fall. We just had the announcement this time last week that Morehouse, all fall sports, would not play. And does this lean toward, especially the schools at the Division II level, and we heard Coach Rich Freeman mention this when we talked with him last week, possibly waiting until the spring to play. Do you think that might be something that might be a better fit just to get through this season?
For HBCUs, some of them, especially the ones that really rely on the attendance of their student body and alum, they could do that. We talked about this earlier. One big reason why you wouldn't want to do that is hurting kids getting into the NFL draft. But if you don't have any in your particular conference, if you don't have any guys that are on the cusp on that bubble, it might do your program and do your organization and school some good to probably salvage some of that money, because you're not competing with too many TV contracts as far as deadlines and certain things like that you would need. Most of your TV contracts would be TV televised games would be out of conference play. So if you're only doing your in conference games, if you're only playing the MEAC within that a lot of time in the spring, it could be good. Same thing with the SWAC, it could be good. I don't know. I don't know how you would do that as far as the other sports.
Then you're going over to a town that would normally be for part of basketball season,
right?
And then in your spring sports as well,
right? So you're thinking about looking at that, but I don't know. It could work.
We're just trying to do for one season. We're just trying to get through one season,
right?
I think that's the thing. A lot of people, things are changing, and people think that's going to be it forever. And I'm like, no, we're just trying to get through this season. We're just trying to get, and get through there. Although what we're seeing with HBCUs is something, I think we're about a year or two away from seeing happen with college athletics, period. And that is another shift of conference realignment. And I think that was something, and maybe this pandemic is going to help to kick that off. Not that it was where it was planned, But we were closing in on another year, just having, you know, some other teams at the higher levels are probably shifting around and joining some conferences, and maybe some teams that play in the mid-major group of five trying to seek entrance into some of the Power Five conferences. We kind of do for some of that. So the fact that the HBCUs have kind of kicked that thing off right now with the two teams in Florida joining in with the SWAC and seeing if there are any other teams that want to move up from Division II to the old 1AA or FCS level to compete with the MEAC along in the Virginias or the Carolinas. And we'll see if any of those HBCUs there, or maybe they offer to a team that is not an HBCU, a program that's not an HBCU that's in the area. That's an alternative as well. So, you know, we'll see what happens. And obviously, you know, we're looking to see things continue with great competition and really hold on to our game we have here at the end of the season, the Celebration Bowl. That's something that we want to see stay in place for sure, for what that game represents, and seeing those games played at the high level and seeing some players from that game go into the National Football League. That's something that we look to see as well. But just interesting times, you know, for all of college athletics, but especially for HBCUs. And with Morehouse, everyone's going to keep their scholarships. That's one thing that Coach Freeman reiterated. But just out of concern for safety and how are they going to do it? Are they going to bring the other teams in to participate and basically just figure out how they're going to keep things safe as far as the student body? And I think that sometimes that's something people forget too, just the students, you know, going to be on campus, going to class, you know, how they're going to manage to do those things, being in the dormitories. And there's a lot of things, because I brought up the band last week. You know, how safe is it going to be to sit near the band? You know, because whatever instrument you're playing, those little droplets that come out the bottom of those instruments, and I think a lot of people even thought about that.
Right, and then to have a game at an HBCU or a game anywhere, any college game without the band.
You take
a little bit of the essence, the fun, the energy out of the game, even if you don't have fans, even if you're trying to televise it, or trying to stream it or anything of that nature, you still take an essence away from that when you don't have that band, and you can't feel the pulse of that band behind that team, and the team doesn't feel that that energy. It takes away from it. But something you said before, as far as realignment, I think when they were speaking with the consultant firm, or they were writing an article about the consultant firm, I think they even indicated that they were looking to PWIs to join the MEAC. And I wouldn't be surprised, and this is just a hot take for me, I don't know if it's true or not, I wouldn't be surprised if Morehouse joins the MEAC soon.
No, we'll watch for that. We'll watch and see if that happens. That would give that conference a presence directly in this market. And that would, you know, that would be interesting to see, because neither MEAC or SWAC have teams in this state or in this market, especially since Savannah State dropped out of the MEAC last season. So we'll see what happens with that. Just some things to think about. Sunday morning, Jahi, you know, has a segment that he does on our Sunday morning show. You may want to join HBCU Update, what he's heard, what he's found out, and he brings it to us, and you want to be around and hear those things. Speaking of HBCUs and speaking of Howard, next guest, coming up top of the hour, is someone who is a Howard alum, but you've heard his voice call some of the great calls from college football and college basketball, especially during March Madness. Gus Johnson, Fox Sports, is coming up as we move into the 10 o'clock hour. You continue to stay with us on this Thursday evening. Sam Crenshaw sitting in for John Chuckery here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are available through the radio.com app, through all of your smartphones and smart devices.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.